Upfront, inside the entertainment industry, is brought to you by member-supported Jazz 91.9 WCLK.
Coming up on this week's edition of Upfront, I catch up with actors Letitia Wright and Malachi Kirby from Steve McQueen's small acts anthology series, Mangrove. The story is part of his newest TV project that focuses on the experiences of Black people in Britain. Director Justin Simeon is here to chat about his spine-tingling horror film, Bad Hair. And closing out the show is my music spotlight with rising R&B star, Singleton. The singer-songwriter has some new music to make you move this holiday season, as well as some covers from Stevie Wonder and John Lennon. But first, here's Riva Blue with this week's Entertainment Buzz.
Amazon Studios has acquired worldwide rights to Coming to America from Paramount Pictures. This long-awaited sequel to the iconic comedy Coming to America will launch worldwide in over 240 countries and territories on Prime Video on March 5th, 2021. Set in the lush and royal country of Zamunda, newly crowned King Akeem, played by Eddie Murphy, and his trusted confidant, Simi, played by Arsenio Hall, embark on an all-new hilarious adventure that has them traversing the globe from their great African nation to the borough of Queens, New York, where it all began. Original cast favorites from Coming to America return, including King Jaffe Jofer, played by James Earl Jones, Queen Lisa, played by Shari Headley, Cleo McDowell, played by John Amos, Maurice, played by Louis Anderson, and the Motley Barbershop crew. Also joining this star-studded ensemble are Wesley Snipes, Leslie Jones, Tracy Morgan, Bella Murphy, Rotimi, Kiki Lane, and Tiana Taylor, making Coming to America the most anticipated comedy film of the year. Stay tuned to Upfront for more details. That's this week's Entertainment Buzz. I'm Riva Blue.
Support for WCLK programming comes from Morehouse Healthcare. Starting in November, the Morehouse Healthcare Comprehensive Family Healthcare Center is moving from East Point to 455 Lee Street, right off I-20 and just blocks from the West End MARTA station. The center offers primary care from family doctors, plus healthcare specialties such as radiology, cardiology, and OBGYN services. More information is available at 404-752-1000 or online at Morehouse Healthcare.
What it costs, we're a sound system, an amalgamation of good dance music. There's three of us from the north side and two from the east, and through our style, you know, people just came to recognize us as the Funky Dreads.
On Sunday, the 9th of August in North Kensington, a demonstration took place against the police, which degenerated into totally inexcusable violence. There may be some who believe that they have been the victim of injustice at the hands of the police. Others who, like parasites, feed on these beliefs and seek to turn them to their own advantage, deliberately creating hate and violence. These defendants are all guilty of the serious criminal offense.
This attack on a black establishment is not an isolated event, but a sustained campaign against black people. And today we are saying enough is enough.
This is Coleman Domingo, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
That was the trailer for Steve McQueen's film, Mangrove. The project is part of his anthology series, Small Acts, which chronicles the journey of Black people in Britain from the late 1960s to the mid-1980s. It is taken from the proverb, "If you are the big tree, we are the small axe," that was popularized by Bob Marley in his song, Small Acts. Mangrove tells the true story of the Mangrove Nine, a group of Black activists who clashed with London police during a protest march in 1970, and their highly publicized trial that followed. I caught up with the film's leading lady, Letitia Wright, who portrays the leader of the British Black Panther Party, Althea Jones. Here are some surprising things Letitia learned about her character and how that information prepared her for the role.
For me, one of the things that took me by surprise was her age. Alfie was 19 at the time, going on to 20, studying biochemistry in London. And just, yeah, just being in your, most 19-year-olds, for me, is just, not an activist or someone that's speaking up for the injustices of her people. Most 19-year-olds are just trying to figure out life, but she was really, really well, you know, educated and come from an educated background and just really fueled with so much more layers and so much to say. So that really surprised me and really encouraged me as a young person. And in terms of preparing, I just really dived into to as much research as I could of her, to just get a sense of who she was and just definitely get in a connection to her spirit so I can represent her through the spirit, really.
Letitia also talked about the joy she experienced being able to celebrate her Guyanese culture in the film through the food, dancing, and language.
You know, again, you know, I'm still building in my craft. And oftentimes you're given characters that, you know, you have to step into their world, step into their culture, step into their space. And that's beautiful as an actor, because that's your job. But for me, it's a bit more special because my heritage and my connection is of the Caribbean culture. Though we are located in South America, our culture is predominantly Caribbean. So having the opportunity to celebrate the food that your auntie cooks, the way your mom and your dad or your, you know, grandma just heckles each other in the kitchen, you know, the music that everybody gets up and just whines and just dance to is a dream come true, because we've never had that opportunity to do it. You know, I grew up on Desmond's. If you guys know Desmond's, it's like an old school, you know, show. And he was Guyanese, you know, and he was like the biggest thing from Guyana back then. But yeah, Desmond's was like the start of that. And now we get to bring our culture, bring our foods, bring our clothing, bring our ideologies and ideas to the forefront within cinema. And I'm so proud of it. So yeah, it was a treat. It's a treat to go on set and hear two people talking and know exactly the lingo. Do you know what I mean? I guess it's the same for y'all, wherever you are in Chicago. There's a lingo, there's a vibe, there's a connection that nobody else can connect to, but just you, you know what I mean? And wherever you guys are located to individually and collectively. So as a Guyanese, you know, young lady, you know, it's just beautiful to just hear the way they were speaking and the way we all connected on set and know exactly the food that's in front of you. I know if it's cooked well, if it's seasoned well or not, you just know. So that was beautiful.
Letitia also talked about working with director Steve McQueen and how passionate he was about each actor bringing their A game to the set each day.
Not only encourage us on set, not only, you know, praise us, you know, even before we saw the final film, he was praising us after a take, considering if everything went well, because we were shooting on film. So he would say, check the gates. And if the gates are not checked and on time and great, then there's problems. Because, you know, that means you have to subsequently do another take. But once the gates are good on the film, he would really come up and cherish us and just like feed into our talents and just nurture us, which I really respect. And one thing he always would say, which I would take with me with my, you know, my journey and my career as I move forward, is we're all going to pass away one day. Leave everything on the screen. Leave it on the screen. If you have the opportunity to tell stories and this is your craft and this is what you do, there's going to be a day where we have to be called back home with our Father in heaven and leave it on the screen. So that really infused a lot to me, that every moment I'm going to get from now on to be on set, you know, from my experience of small acts and moving forward, is to leave everything I can on the screen and just give as much as I can through my character.
Brothers and sisters, We must become the shepherds of our own destiny.
Mangrove also features versatile actor Malachi Kirby, who portrays Darkus Ho, another prominent member of the Mangrove Nine. You may remember his portrayal of Kunta Kinte in the 2016 reimagined version of Roots and his appearance in Black Mirror. Malachi talked about how stories like Marcus Ho must be told and shared with new generations.
These people were invisible. You know, the first time I heard about Darkus was in an interview in the London 2012 riots. And it was basically him saying to the interviewer, "Do you not know who I am?" You know, with all that he had done, you know, and him, Darkus, I think out of the nine was probably the most well-known. And yet he's speaking to this interviewer. He's basically talking to him like he's just some random person off the street. And he's like, "Hold on, do you know what I've done for this country? Like, do you not know who I am?" And we don't, I didn't, you know? And so for me, like, this is so important. Like, a lot of the people involved in the protests at this time and in the Mangrove Nine, like, they were just, you know, common people. And I think that's beautiful about this. Like, they were your neighbors. They were the person that works in the shop next door. But we still, like, we don't know who they were, and we should, you know, we ought to, because they were a part of shaping the world that we live in right now. And the fact that their stories have gone untold is an injustice in itself. So for me, this feels incredibly important to be part of something like this.
Mangrove is available now on Amazon Prime.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the Bremen Museum, presenting a jazz memoir, Photography by Herb Snitzer, available now through December the 31st. The virtual exhibition features portraits of jazz musicians from 1957 to 1964, including Louis Armstrong, Nina Simone, Dizzy Gillespie, Miles Davis, and Duke Ellington. Information about the virtual exhibition and other related activities are available at thebremen.org. That's thebremen.org.
Good hair means curls and waves. Bad hair means you look like a slave. At the turn of the century, it's time for us to redefine who we be.
Hi, this is Iyanla Van Zandt, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius. That girl is
poison. You want to be one of my girls?
Yes. This came all the way from India.
Forget about where it's from. Let's focus on where it's going.
You're not tender-headed, are you?
I'll be fine.
Clients swear this stuff is magic.
You just heard a portion of the trailer for Justin Simien's Bad Hair. The film takes place in 1989 and follows an ambitious young woman who gets a hair weave in order to succeed in the image-obsessed world of music television. However, her flourishing career comes at a great cost when she realizes that her new hair may have a mind of its own. I caught up with Justin during a recent AFTRA roundtable discussion where he talked about the film's inspiration and more.
It really started watching a movie called The Wig. Which is it's Japanese, and it's about a possessed wig, and it is bonkers. And you know, there wasn't like an obvious American translation to it, and I just found myself kind of rabbit holing into hair horror, which is, you know, it's not quite a full subgenre, but there's a lot of, you know, even in something like The Grudge, like wet black hair seems to be this constant horror motif in Asian horror films. And I went looking for something like that that was American, and there really wasn't anything. And it was just one of those crazy ideas that, you know, reminded me of Little Shop of Horrors, but also Rosemary's Baby, and also, you know, all those kind of like movies that have really schlocky, campy premises, but the filmmakers take them seriously enough to where it starts to mean something on the other side. Body Snatchers is another example. And, you know, it just caught me, you know, some of these things, like, I don't really plan for, I just kind of couldn't stop thinking about doing a hair horror movie, with black people in it. And, you know, this was before, I saw Get Out in theaters, and it was just one of those, it was one of many things that I had written a treatment for and was just sort of parked, you know, on the desk of potential financiers. And then Get Out happened, and it was like, oh, okay, these make money. Okay, great. Let's go ahead and do Bad Hair. Fantastic. And, you know, that's what pushed it through.
Bad Hair takes audiences back to the music, fashion, and culture of 1989. Here's why Justin chose that year.
It was a couple things. I mean, I definitely was reaching towards like the 70s and 80s, just in general, genre-wise, for inspiration. But really, it was through research and trying to pinpoint the year where, you know, the weave goes from being something exotic that if you're in the know, you know about, to something that like an everyday woman knows about. It's something that you can go out and get. And 1989 was that year. You know, it's not precisely that year, but interestingly enough, and I found this really supported in what research I can find. I mean, there's not a ton of like, you know, weave experts out there, but what it seemed to me, it was like Janet Jackson and the Pleasure Principle video specifically. Okay, when she does that backflip off the chair and the hair is just doing all kind of stuff, and then it, boom, it just lands. That clearly had an impact on popular culture, because by 1989, you know, she's got the Rhythm Nation hair, which is like an even more extreme version. And we kind of replicated some of that Rhythm Nation hair, some Jody Watley-ness in Kelly Rowland's hairstyle. But there's a cover of her, it's either Ebony or Essence. And it's like the first time I saw the word weave on a magazine cover in that era. And it wasn't related to Janet, but it was just in my mind, I was like, well, this is clearly what has to, you know, factor into what people are emulating and seeing as even possible at that time. So that made sense to me. That was interesting to me. And as I kept digging and digging, I really rabbit holed into this, you know, New Jack Swing stuff, which is the music I grew up listening to. I just thought it was music. But really like seeing how New Jack Swing was yet another example of a so-called Black Renaissance that we created, that we owned. And yet, you know, 5 years later, you get to 1995 and New Jack Swing is just called pop music. And Britney Spears and NSYNC are the king and queen of it. And we totally just like forgot that Janet and Keith Sweat and like Belle Biv DeVoe and like, you know, these New Edition invented this thing. And so that was really at the heart of what was happening to Anna in the movie. And also just on a personal note, I don't think this was conscious at all, but I think that was the year my father died. And there was some, I don't know, there's a dirty transition about that year in my subconscious. And it just, I kept going back to it. And the more I embraced it, the more the movie was just kind of coming to me. So I just kind of went with it.
Bad Hair is available now for your viewing pleasure on Hulu.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the High Museum of Art, presenting Dawood Bey, an American project, on view now through March 14th. The exhibition features photographs that trace the 45 years of Bey's career, beginning with street photography in 1970s Harlem to recent portraits and landscapes. Time tickets are required and available for purchase at high.org.
I'm Niecy Nash.
I'm Karrueche Tran.
And you are listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius. Woo!
Imagine there's no hatred. It's easy. No suppression, no mercy. Above us only skies. Imagine all the people.
You just heard the voice of rising R&B singer-songwriter Singleton performing his version of the John Lennon classic, Imagine. The song was released in response to the Black Lives Matter movement and the recent protests across the country for peace, racial justice, and reconciliation. I caught up with the Savannah State University alumni to chat about the song, his musical icon Stevie Wonder, and working with pop divas Beyoncé and Jennifer Hudson.
John Lennon has been one of my favorite artists
And I wanted to do something that I felt millennials would receive. Well, that song is very, you know, you hear the melody, you hear it right away, you know what that is. And I wanted to do something, if you saw the video, I put like, you know, some images together of the Black Lives Matter movement. And I wanted just to create an awareness and some content that everybody could relate to. And I changed the words a little bit. I don't know if people caught it, but I changed some of the words to reflect what's happening in today's time. And some people don't think they didn't really catch it. But if you listen back, I changed, I altered a few words in the song because I felt that if John was alive today, he would have changed based off of what's happening. I felt he probably would have did something kind of similar to where I went. You know, I didn't change the, you know, the chorus, and but I just changed. I looked at what's happening with Black Lives and overall with systemic racism, and I felt just to change, just to tweak a few words here and there. But that's why I didn't put it out on Spotify.
You mentioned John Lennon as one of your inspirations. Who else has inspired you as a singer-songwriter?
Oh, my God. So, you know, it's a lot of gospel artists for me, you know, that people probably won't know who they are. Darryl Coley was one of my favorite gospel artists that inspired me to sing. Of course, Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye. My God, Boyz II Men. John Legend, I love. He has such great depth and song. I can just keep going on. There's so many people that I really, because I listen to everybody, and I still do today. I listen to pop, R&B, I listen to hip hop, I listen to country. So I'm my ear is tuned into radio and what's streaming now. But I have so many different influences for me. You know, I think it's that, and I'm still like, you know, listening to finding new artists that, because sometimes when you write a record, you can hear different melodies that you can pick up and say, oh, okay. You know, I like how that's moving. Let me try to create something similar to that, or come up with a vibe similar to that style, you know. Yeah.
You mentioned Stevie Wonder. You actually did a cover of his song, I Never Thought You'd Leave, in Summer. Let's talk about that one as well.
Yeah, so Never Dreamed. So that was a record that I always did when I performed live. It was a great song for me just to take a break. So if you're doing a high energy show, I could sit down and, you know, just have piano and voice and just do that record. And it always had a great response. And people always said, oh man, your voice sounds good in that register, you know, with Stevie. But I wanted to, you know, give homage to Stevie because I think all singers today, we go back to Stevie. Stevie is like the foundation for all vocalists. If you're a real singer, you're listening to Stevie Wonder, you're listening to Marvin Gaye, you tuned in to, you know, the greats, you know, even Luther Vandross, you know. So Luther is like, Stevie is like a blueprint for me.
In summer, I thought you would go and come back home. I thought the cold.
You've had the opportunity to be on the same stage with some amazing artists, and two of my favorites, Beyonce and Jennifer Hudson. So any nuggets that you learned, any words of wisdom that you learned from those two divas?
Well, what I learned is that this is a business. It's real. It's work. You know, seeing Beyonce is not, it's not a game. If she has a show at 8 p.m., she's rehearsing at 8 a.m. until 6:30, you know, makeup, hair. And you see like the work that goes into the business and you realize, okay, this is hard work. It's the real deal. You know, it's not a game. Same thing for Jennifer Hudson. You know, I actually knew Jennifer before she became Hudson. So she used to work with a group of mine that we worked with. And so it was just great seeing her, you know, go from to where she used to be to now. But from her also just being on time and, you know, taking it seriously and just you seeing like the people that's behind, you know, the scenes. It's a team. It's a teamwork effort, and you realize that it's not just one person that helps you. You have to have a team of people that can build around you and help you thrust through. Because it's not easy, you know. And in a pandemic, it's definitely not. So we're just creating ways to make it happen. There's no blueprint to this, you know. It used to be back in the day, but now everything is different. So yeah, just seeing those artists and everybody's on a different, you know, way of how, you know, to make it work during the pandemic. But those two were wonderful. I learned professionalism, being on time, and learning that this is a real business. You got to take it seriously.
Skip the day, let's go straight to the night.
So we just heard a quick snippet of your single Skin. Let's talk about the inspiration behind that one, because that's a really hot number.
Thanks, man. Well, inspiration for that, man, is, you know, we did a whole EP series and we did like a short film version. But the story, the song is about just having date night, you know, with the woman you dating and you actually serious about. We actually decided to, the song is based on date night. I'm cooking for her and then she comes down. Well, actually, we're supposed to go on a date. And when she comes down, I just look and I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to show you with nobody. You look too sexy to take out. I think I'm going to stay in and make you a meal and Netflix it and just get to know you even more. So it's a pretty much date night that went another direction, the song. And it's great for the actual COVID right now because everybody, you can't really go out anywhere. So, you know, it's that feel good record, you know, that make you feel good with staying in with the one you want to be with, you know, and just loving on the person you want to be with.
So you mentioned the music videos, and one thing that I noticed that you have the same love interest in your videos, which is very, that's very old school, because that was always kind of the thing that a lot of the singers would find a particular model or someone, and that person would, Janet Jackson did that a lot with the former model by the name of Rudy. She used that guy throughout all of her videos. So I noticed that you kind of did the same thing.
Yeah, I used Renee Bawagen. She was actually on America's Next Top Model. And she's a great girl. She did a great job. She plays my wife. So what we did is we did like a short film. So it's when you look at Congratulations, we go into Congratulations. I meet her at the club, wasn't looking for anybody. And we go on date night, which is Skin. You know, we go out. I decided to keep her in because she's looking so hot when she come down. And then we go from there to the next record, which is The Way You Make Me Feel. You know, I used to be a player, you know, on the videos. And then we go out, you know, for to the mall. And I get a call from an old fling of mine. And she sees the call and she gets pissed off. So the whole video, I'm chasing her. That video is out now. So I went back, and then, you know, I realized, like, it's going great, now I'm proposing to you. So I proposed to her in Unlock You Beautiful. And then we have the last song, which is Count the Ways. It shows us, oh, we're like 80 years old. We age. You see that video, like, in 2021. So I created a whole, like, short film. We actually did a short film version of all the videos. It's tied together. So you can see, like, you know, the body work that we did. But she plays my wife in every video, and she did an amazing job. You know, but I wanted to create, you know, like you said, that storytelling effect with good music that people can get a good visual and feel for, because I felt that it's missing. Because I feel like everybody doing it's tasteful at times, but people getting tired of seeing the girls shaking their butts in every video, and that's all you got, you know, in cars, you know. So I wanted just to, because Skin could have went a whole other direction. It could have been like, you know, oh, here we go, just sexed out. So I wanted just to bring back the narrative and, you know, just have something beautiful for people to see.
All right. Well, I think you achieved that. Well, Singleton, thank you so much for being a guest today on Upfront. How can our listeners stay in contact with you on social media?
So they can follow me, Singleton, SingletonRB3 on Instagram. They can follow me at Singleton, SingleTN on Facebook. And they can follow me, same thing, Singleton Official on Twitter. Now, the reason why I changed my name it was Singleton, SingletonN on Instagram. It was another artist that had my Singleton name, so I dropped two vowels out on the other ones. But you can find me, you know, for Twitter and Facebook with Singleton, SingletonN.
Well, that'll do it for this week's show. I'd like to thank all of my special guests, Mangrove stars Letitia Wright and Malachi Kirby, Bad Hair director Justin Simeon, and singer-songwriter Singleton. I'd also like to thank our engineer, Jami Wellman, and the voice of Entertainment Buzz, Reva Blue. Please join us next week for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside the Entertainment Industry.
If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside the Entertainment Industry has been brought to you by Jazz 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's jazz station, and is recorded from the campus of Clark Atlanta University.